Hello, my friends, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast. I'm Paul White. Today, we are going to jump into Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. We introduced it yesterday. Included in that podcast was a look at why we're doing this journey through the Old Testament and what that hermeneutic is all about, where we think it originates, and why it's important. We also talk a little bit about other hermeneutics and how you can view the scriptures, and I think it is a pretty important podcast for what we're trying to do. We read the verse at the end. We'll talk about it in just a second. Before I do, I want to remind you that tomorrow is Friday, and as promised, we will be presenting another long-form Friday. I'll give you more details tomorrow, but suffice to say it's about an hour-long conversation that I recently had, and I sat down with my dad, Rick White. I'll give you the details, what dad's up to, and then that conversation tomorrow on the podcast on what will be a little over an hour long. Be nice for your run or your bike or your drive or working around the house, whatever you might have to do. I think you'll enjoy that conversation that we had. We'll give it to you tomorrow. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." The first thing you need to know is the context of this scripture. Whenever you read Isaiah chapter 1, you get a very in-depth look at the wickedness of Judah and how God is beginning to grow frustrated with Judah. He even tells them that he's had enough. He uses the phrase in verse 11, "I've had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed cattle. I don't delight in the blood of bulls or lambs or goats." He calls them in verse 13 futile sacrifices, or better word, worthless sacrifices. He even says that incense is an abomination to him. He's tired of the new moons and the Sabbaths. And there's this indication there that the big reason God's really tired of it is because there's so much mixed with sin that they're doing one thing as sort of a religious projection, and then they're going out and living another way, and that God's tired of, and it's a word we would probably call hypocrisy. He's just tired of it. He wants them to stop doing what they're doing, put away the evil. He says in verse 16, "Cease to do evil," then verse 17, then listen to what God wants them to do. "Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, and plead for the widow." I would argue that nothing has changed. God still wants us to cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. Just because we talk about personal sanctification, personal justification, personal righteousness, and these being achieved by faith, not works, it doesn't exclude us from the heart of God towards our fellow man. What God wants to see is us to cease to do evil and learn to do good. When we say cease to do evil, we're not simply people. I think we've categorized this too long into just don't do bad stuff. God hates bad stuff. No, look at the context. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. It's all about your neighbor. God doesn't want you to cease to do evil because God is so offended. God wants you to cease to do evil in regards to your neighbor. Don't do or be wrong to people. And when you start to argue about who that neighbor is, which is what happens in Israel at the time of Christ, then of course you'll find that the neighbor is, well, it's whoever's there. And it's almost always the person you don't want it to be. That's the nature of them being your neighbor. When you get to the very end of that context, you arrive at our verse, and God says, "Come now, let's reason together." But the word reason is better translated from the Hebrew as the word argue. Come now, let's argue this thing out. "And though your sins are like scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they'll be as wool." I think what we're seeing in Isaiah chapter 1 is that God doesn't want a system of you do the religious thing to achieve righteousness, and then you go right back out and you are who you are. What God would rather see is a wrestling people who wrestle with the concepts of cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. Wrestle that thing out. That's way better than offering up burnt offerings and sacrifices. What tends to happen in religion is that you feel as if you're doing your part, therefore that's all that's expected of you. It's like the guy that pays his tithes at church and then walks right past the homeless guy on his way into the grocery store because he thinks, well, I've already given to the Lord. I'm not giving to this crook. And I'm not saying that you should give to every person or there's got to be a set amount. But if that's the heart condition of I've already given, then I think Isaiah chapter 1 is written for us. Listen, I'm doing my sacrifices. I'm observing my new moons and my Sabbaths, and I'm calling my sacred assemblies, and I've got my anointing oil. And God says, you know what I'd rather you do? I'd rather you and I wrestle out much bigger concepts like don't do evil, do good, seek justice, rebuke oppressors, defend fatherless, and plead for the widows. And God says when that happens, what you'll end up with at the end of the wrestling is you'll realize though your sins are like scarlet, they're white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they'll be as wool. I don't want to present to you that the road to purification is to do the right thing. But I do want to show you that in an old covenant world, the heart of God has always been for all people. His heart was never go offer up a bunch of sacrifices. His heart was wrestle out what it means to be my people. And when you do, you'll come into the knowledge of that's what true cleanliness is. That's walking in that godliness. That's walking in that purity. You could even say that's kingdom living. Let me jump you to Isaiah 43. I want to show you a complementary text from Isaiah chapter 43. Verse 26, God says this, put me in remembrance and let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted. God literally invites controversy with Israel. He invites them, let's judge together. You state your case that you may be justified. God invites you to come in front of him and state your case. And I say through the lens of the new covenant, what we know is our case is Christ was crucified on our behalf. Go argue that in front of God. And God's response will be great. Now, cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. It'll always be that. That is his response because that is his heart. Tomorrow is Friday. It's Long Form Friday. We'll tell you about it. See you then. God bless.